Our subject this morning is Satan, the evil one. And we will be looking at this subject at least for another Sunday or two. And interesting thing is that the scriptures do not discuss the problem of evil. They face its fact and its presence and point to the one and only means of deliverance from its dreaded bondage. The same thing is true with regard to Satan. The scriptures, they do not discuss why or how or for what reason Satan came into God's creation. It only recognizes his presence, acknowledges his great power, and sets before us the mighty conflict of the ages. So this morning, for a couple more Sundays, rather than heading for disaster by attempting to draw the veil aside and try to frame a philosophy that would attempt to account for the presence of such a being in God's creation, we will only be led by that which has been written for our learning in God's Word. The Hebrew word Satan as a noun means an adversary. And we have this Hebrew word Satan in two forms. We have it as a verb, and that's how it would appear in the Hebrew, S-A-T-A-N, with a hyphen over the first A. That is the form of the word Satan as a verb. According to the principles of Hebrew grammar, the prefix of the article turns the word into a proper noun. And so you see the same word both as a verb and as a noun. But when you see it as a noun, it has Satan and a hyphen over this A and over this A. And so here we have a noun, and here we have a verb. And yet it's the same word. Now, a good example of that you can find in Zechariah. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 3, page 1283. Zechariah chapter 3. And I want to read this with the idea in mind that we're looking at this word, Satan, in the Hebrew. So verse 1, Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to Satan him. See that? We find the word Satan in the Hebrew in two places. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan as a noun in the Hebrew, standing at his right hand to Satan as a verb, him. So when it's a verb, it's translated to resist. So this is one of the best examples to where you can see this word Satan used in two different ways, as a noun and as a verb. As a noun, it's a person, place, or thing. Of course, Satan. As a verb, it's an action word. And the action here is to resist. So here in this verse, we can see that Satan was acting in his full capacity of his title, an adversary or a resister of truth. The title is associated with all that is evil. In Revelation, he is identified with the dragon of the apocalypse, the serpent of antiquity in the New Testament called the devil as a noun. We find in Romans chapter 16, verse 20, it establishes the link revealing the serpent of Genesis 3 is Satan. In that verse, we won't go there, but it says the God of peace shall bruise Satan, a noun. And when we go then to Genesis 3, it speaks of Satan in three different realms. So turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So here we see Satan tied as a serpent, or distinguished or symbolized as a serpent. In that same chapter then, we find in verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Between thy seed. So here again we see Satan symbolized not only as a serpent, but also as a seed. And then in verse 24 of that same chapter, verse 24, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword was turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So here we see Satan symbolized in a third way, all in the same chapter. We see him as a serpent, we see him as a seed, we see him as a cherubim. So, accepting this then as a guide for us, we turn to the prophecy of Ezekiel, who tells us of the one who in the beginning was the anointed cherub, which we saw here in the 24th verse. The anointed cherub, Satan, but who fell from grace. In the symbolism employed by Ezekiel, we shall understand what took place before the overthrow of the world in Genesis chapter 1 with this rascal Satan. In this 28th chapter of Ezekiel, there are two personages addressed. The Prince of Tyre, in that 28th chapter, from 1, verse 1 to 10, the Prince of Tyre, and then the second person is the King of Tyre, beginning verse 12 to 15. And it is the King of Tyre that sets forth the position and fall of Satan. So turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 28. Page 1145 in the Companion Bible. Ezekiel chapter 28. And as you know, there's always a foreshadowing in Scripture. One thing always foreshadows another thing. Here, the Prince of Tyre is a real human being, foreshadowing the King of Tyre, which ultimately describes Satan himself and what he will be. So, beginning with Ezekiel 28, chapter 28, beginning in the 11th verse. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. That's the king of Tyre being spoken of here. Verse 13, Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, and sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the days that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. That verse 14 confirms Genesis 1, the anointed cherub that was placed outside the garden. I think we'll see there were five of them, but the anointed cherub was there. The finished pattern is the words that I want to look at here next. As you can see, the opening description of this mighty being is truly wonderful. Verse 12, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou art the finished pattern. There can be no doubt. Here we are facing a tremendous revelation regarding this being Satan. This mighty being, now cast out as profane and doomed to become ashes on the earth, he was once the standard. However, all glories that were for a time vested in this anointed cherub are to be found today in the finished work of Christ plus one. What is that? Belief. Satan, like you, like me, had a free will. He was beautiful, he was perfect, he was created that way, but God gave him a free will to choose to believe God or not. Christ is set before us as the perfect man, as we read in the New Testament. God said, Genesis 1:26, as a matter of fact, he said, let us make man after our likeness. Not after Satan, after our likeness. Therefore, when we read that Christ was the image of the invisible God and the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, we realize that Ezekiel 28:12 contains an echo of these standards. Thou sealest up the sum. When you look at Satan, and then you look at Christ, the difference being Satan chose to go off in his own way. But the question then What was this terrible sin of Satan? How does this fit in? Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Well, what was that? He was created without blemish, but something went haywire as a result of his free will. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 says, God hath made upright. In Isaiah chapter 45, it says, he did not create imperfect. He created this being. He was perfect and summed up the wisdom and everything. Shows the condition into which Satan has actually fallen from his original sum of uprightness. He became unrighteous. Now, there are many words used for sin in both the Hebrew and the Greek. But the one element common to all is negation. Uprightness is positive. Sin is its negation. Meaning to come short, to miss the mark. And this negation was seen in Satan when he turned aside from the path of obedience and aspired to forbidden things. He was like you and me. We can walk towards the things that are righteous. We can turn and go the other way against anything that negates that righteousness, and it becomes unrighteous. He didn't believe God. Although he was created this wonderful being with all this power, he didn't believe God. Still doesn't today. This iniquity is seen from various angles in Ezekiel 28. If you notice there in verse 16, it talks about him dealing in merchandise. Verse 18, trafficking in merchandise. In verse 16, he's profane. In verse 18, he's defiled. And the reason for that is given there in verse 17. Look at verse 17. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. He became filled with himself. He was so damn smart and cute and powerful, you know? And so he decided that he could decide and do what he chose, not what God said. There's an allusion to this in 1 Timothy. You don't need to go there, but it says, in speaking with regard to what a bishop should be in the church, it says, not a novice with regard to the Word of God, not a novice, but being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of Satan. He's warning against choosing a bishop that will fall into the condemnation of pride, which caused the fall of Satan into a condemnation of this bishop that they're trying to approve. So Satan then becomes a slanderer, trafficking in merchandise of what? The question arises, in what way can Satan be said to have dealt in merchandise or trafficking? Is he opening up a business or what? Well, it's interesting. This word traffic and merchandise here is used. It's actually the Hebrew word rekula, R-E-K-U-L-L-A-H, rekula, referring to merchandise and trafficking. That word is used only four times in Scripture, and all four of them are in Ezekiel. And here's the interesting thing. What is the numerical? We've talked about the numerical value of the letters of the word Satan being 666. What is the numerical value of this word Rekula? 666. Only used four times in Scripture, all in the book of Ezekiel with regard to trafficking and merchandise. It has the connotation of tale-bearing, a tattler, a slanderer, a liar. Also connected with walking about to and fro in the earth. In the New Testament, means slanderer. This evil slanderer is indicated in various places throughout Scripture. And I want to, might take a little time here, but I just want to turn and show you about four or five of these to show that this is scattered through the whole book of God's Word. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And we begin to see some of the meanings of this slandering. And chapter 5, verse 13. And with all thy, they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers. Also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversity to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. So it's tying this tattling, this slandering, this lying, this tying, in this case, this instance is to Satan. Indicating that there's this comparison. Go back to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. The 16th verse. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among the people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Reference to talebearer, tattler, slanderer. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 11, page 879. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Nasty things, you can imagine. Another reference is in the verse, chapter 20. Just turn over a few pages of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 20. Verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddleth not with him that flattereth with his lips. What did Eve do? She believed him. Look at the New Testament. Or else look at Jeremiah first, chapter 6 of Jeremiah, page 1026, Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 28. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanderers. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. Turn over a couple pages to Jeremiah chapter 9. Verse 4. Take ye heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplement, and every neighbor will walk with slanderers. That's enough. If you get your commentary, and you'll find that this word, this slanderers, this lying, all this, that we couldn't go through all of them this morning. There's only 150 of them or so in the scripture. We just looked at four or five of them here. So here we see that the sin of Satan had reference to trafficking in tale-bearing by his beauty, by his wisdom. He slandered God. First time, I don't think, was with Eve. I think the first time was probably with other angels, because he was an anointed cherub. So he probably was doing this back and forth, this slandering and tale-bearing and lying with angels before he got to Eve. And eventually he came to Eve and he said, "Ye shall not die, ye shall be like God." She believed the lie. The human race has been suffering ever since. A liar to the truth. The anointed cherub, as he was, walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. We see instances of this. Turn in your Bibles to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, page 668. Verse 7. Job chapter 1, verse 7. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" And then Satan answered, the Lord said, "From going to and from fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And then we see again in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 2. Another instance, and the Lord said unto Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." Both cases, if you read the verses after this, and the verses after the second verse we looked at, in both cases are followed by tale-bearing and slandering. Over and over, lies by Satan over and over again to Job. And it's interesting, you can go back and read that, but we won't go through it. In other words, at one point, he ceased to be perfect, the perfect son. He ceased to be the anointed cherub and became Satan, the slanderer, as a result of his ego. Now, go back again to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. Page 1145. And we read about his doom. Ezekiel chapter 28, beginning with verse 16. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore, I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. These are the steps to his doom, as stated in Ezekiel. First one is, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. I will cast thee to the earth. I will lay thee before kings. I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and thou shalt, and it shall devour thee. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth. Thou shalt be a terror, never shalt thou be no more. The first of these deprives the anointed one of his glory and his office. Done with. The second, of course, cast him to earth as a spectator to kings, speculator to kings. Third, he sees that he's reduced to ashes by fire brought from the midst of him. And then the fourth spread speaks of his effect of his destruction upon others. And of course, if you notice there in verse 17, this punishment is future as written here. Thy heart was lifted up. I will cast thee to the ground. Yet to come. We read about it, of course, in other places in Scripture, in Revelation, and so forth. Not told when, but I will. So, at the present time, Satan, with restless activity of slandering, patrols this earth, speaking and seeking whom he may deceive. And if you don't believe it, look at the world situation today. You cannot determine the truth. You can go to CNN, MSNBC, you can go to Fox, you can go to the Soviet Union, China, Iran, you can look at the Democrat Party, you can look at the Republican Party. You cannot determine the truth. Satan has done his job well. The slanderer has promoted these lies to the point that the truth is not known. He goes about still today causing problems. And even the United States, that was supposedly based on the principles given to Moses, the Constitution written under the laws of God, has lost its way because of slandering and lies and mistruths. And those caught up in their ego and their beauty and their wisdom. It's a sad state of affairs, but he's done his job well as a slanderer and a talebearer and a liar. And the world is tied into it. Next week, I want to continue to look at this, and more specifically, Satan and the war on the saints. And that's you and me and the church of the one body in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love towards us, that you are the sum that sealest up a perfect image of wisdom and knowledge and love. We thank you for the written word that we can understand and grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. For it's in your Son's name, Christ, that we pray. Amen.